Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kaye, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tombolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show.
Welcome to the Life Talk Show. I'm Diana Hall with Nikki Tombolides. And today we have the great privilege to have with us, filling in for Randy Kaye, the wonderful and most talented TV and radio personality, Jim Masters. Randy has had an accident, but she's doing very well, and we want to wish her a speedy recovery. And hopefully we'll try to connect with her during the show today by telephone. But in the meantime, welcome, Jim. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you
welcome,
very much.
Jim.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. I'm very excited to be joining the team and joining you. I know we have some amazing shows that are coming up in 2015 with fabulous guests. Want to let the audience know, too, we are coming to you from a fabulous studio. The Life Talk Show is originating today direct from the Grove Studios, which are at 71 Orange Street in downtown New Haven, Connecticut, in the 9th Square section. Beautiful area. We're excited to be here. And we also invite you to come visit us if you're ever in town. You can contact thelifetalkshow.com. We also want to let you know that today's broadcast is sponsored by Dynamic Printer, 71 Main Street, Monroe, Connecticut. You can find out more by calling them at 203-459-8762 or go to their website, dynamicprinter.com. They offer everything, Xerox quality digital printing, up to 2400 DPI resolution, color in black and white, single to full color offset printing, internet competitive pricing, friendly service, and small print quantities available as well. And they work coast to coast. So that's dynamicprinter.com. We appreciate them being a real big supporter of the Life Talk Show. So it's great to be here. It's the holiday season.
Yes.
Has everybody done their holiday shopping yet?
Well, no. I have barely started.
The two ladies are looking at each other.
But you know what? We're among somebody who can help us, because this week, Jim had a really exciting week. But part of his excitement this week and why he could have helped us is because, who did you play this week?
I call it my week from Carnegie to Claus.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, I was That's Santa exciting. Claus. At the NYU Skirball Center for Performing Arts, I was host and MC, so I'm in a nice sport coat with a red turtleneck, and then I disappear like Clark Kent into the dressing room, and I come out as Santa Claus.
It was adding lots of stuffing, I might
Christmas
add.
Yes. Christmas in Italy with Christina Fontanelli. She's a soprano and a good friend of mine, so she does a beautiful holiday concert, and we had a lot of children singing from different schools. It was really beautiful. Prior to that, I had the honor and great pleasure of being on stage at Carnegie Hall with composer Tim Janis. It was his ninth annual, The American Christmas Carol, with Sir James Galway, Lady Jean Galway.
Well, that sounds so exciting.
What a way to
Grammy
kick off
winning Lisa Fisher. And it was a 200, voice choir and orchestra, and just beautiful working at Carnegie Hall like that. So I call it from Carnegie to Claus.
So are you in the Christmas spirit yet? You must be.
I love this time of the year. It's one of my favorite times. Yes, and I'm a sweater guy. I like sweaters.
Yeah.
The whole crew here at the studio, they're all wearing sweaters.
I know.
And you
look
great
have a choice
with
today.
Your baby blue sweater. cute.
He has the signature Life Talk color on today with that blue.
Yeah.
See?
Right? Yeah.
I do my research.
I
do my homework.
Is our banner, which is kind of blue and green.
Very
and,
nice.
Matches with Jim. He blends in well.
Yeah. In my work in television, I always say I like to dress show appropriate.
Oh, wow. Well, you did.
To blend in with, So it's great to be here. We have a lot to talk about,
so
I know.
We're excited to have you with us.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about something that, sometimes we
our
all...
Our topic today.
Yeah, we all struggle with this, no matter what, background we come from and... what income level, demographic, doesn't matter. It's really self-love. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, even working in the entertainment field, the media field, sometimes we don't necessarily have the self-love that it may seem when you're on stage or you're on the air that you have self-love, that you're very confident. A lot of people who are performers, a lot of them don't have the self-love. It seems like they do, but
self-doubt,
they don't. There's self-doubt. Yeah. Absolutely. And in 1956, psychologist and social philosopher Erich Fromm proposed that loving oneself is different from being arrogant, conceited, or egocentric, which is what I was just talking about as far as sometimes when you're a performer, somebody might think because you have confidence that you're arrogant, conceited, egocentric. Not necessarily the case. He proposed loving oneself really means caring about oneself. Because, you know, if you love yourself, sometimes it gives you the opportunity to love others
right.
deeper and more richer and greatly. And also taking responsibility for oneself, respecting oneself, and really taking the time to know oneself. And he concluded, to be able to love one another, a person needs to first love oneself in this way. And Fromm also wrote The Art of Loving, first publication back in 1956. So you'll find, you know, self-love is something that is important and something that it's not always easy to do.
Right.
Because you can be very critical of yourself. And maybe you grew up in a background where you were always criticized or you had to be the star child. I mean, as we age.
And the expectations were high.
And, you know, and while we're talking about this, it's interesting. It makes me think about sitting here with the two of you. Mm-hmm. You know, we were all brought up so differently.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, Nikki, how did you feel in your family? Did you feel like there was a lot of, and it's just making something come up that I saw this morning, but did you feel like you had a lot of support and positive feedback for the things that you did, or did you have a lot of negativity in your family?
Yeah, well, I was the baby in my family, so that matters a lot.
Right, absolutely.
We talked about that when we had lunch.
We had lunch, we talked about it, and also we had a show on siblings,
yes.
And it matters the order, the birth order book. Mm-hmm, we had the show about that,
right?
And it matters because you get a lot of special attention, and then if there's any matter that matters, my older siblings get to have a say.
So they direct the conversation.
Yeah, because they have the authority. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So did you get the respect of people in your family to listen that
now?
They listen
yes,
to you?
But not then. Mm-hmm. Because as a little kid, I was just like getting my way because I was cute.
Right. And you're still cute, Nikki.
How did you manage to get the respect? Did you have to request it and demand it, or did it come through time?
That's a very good question, because it came through time, because it was my siblings kind of like had issues. And it's like what Kennedy, the little Kennedy, was Ted Kennedy, the youngest one that said, and the last shall be first. I mean, I feel that's my motto for me right now, because I'm kind of following that path.
You know, it's interesting.
Now I'm reversing the question. That's a very good question to you, Diane and Jim.
Well, you know, I, growing up, honestly, I don't want to say there was a lot of negativity, but there was, because I was obviously am still a girl, and my sister, the boys were always sort of maybe put on a pedestal, and the boys were the ones that were going to achieve and move forward. And there wasn't a lot. My mom, yes, she definitely kind of pushed my sister and I, but I felt my dad in you know, the old Italian way, the men, you know, sort of
have. The boys go first.
You would find a man, get married, and be taken care of.
Well, right.
Given that my culture is Greek, that Greek and Italians are very similar.
Similar.
And you know, so I want to say my mom really helped my sister and I, kind of pushed us along. And, not to the level that I think, you know, as a parent, and I remember when my son was born 18 years ago, there was this big push for building self-esteem, always positive reinforcement, never negative reinforcement, always come from a positive spin.
Yes.
And, you know, as a teacher, I tried a lot of that too. So this morning I was listening to a show on TV, and they were saying, are you the tiger mom? Are you the elephant mom? The difference, the tiger mom, always, you know, pushing and not a whole lot of love and positive reinforcement. The elephant mom, you know, always nurturing, always that positive reinforcement, and there's, you know, there should be that combination.
I think there's a third too.
What is
there? There could be the mom or the dad who loves the child and has compassion for the child, but worries so much about the child doing anything. Don't do that. You'll get hurt. Don't do that. Don't risk that. Where the child then becomes
helicopter
afraid of doing anything because of
I can't believe there's an expression for everything.
The mom's influence of, oh, I'll get hurt if I do that, or I can't risk that, or I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't say that, I shouldn't. So I think there's a third one in there too.
Right. Is that helicopter mom? Because that's the one that hovers.
Sort of hovering over, making sure. Yeah. I mean, looking out in a caring way.
Right.
But not realizing sometimes that that can limit the child from going out and exploring who they are.
But see, guys, at this point, we have to emphasize that Diane is a mother of two.
Yes.
And Jim, from what I know, unless you have something that you're not telling us, it's you.
Working hard.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's it, working hard.
And that's me.
Yeah.
So we do not have children, and Randy, that she's not with us today, she also has two kids. So I am talking from a point of a child. And Jim, I want to hear your point from the point of a child, because I have to emphasize that I feel it gets shady when they're siblings and one parent favors one child over another, regardless of the sex. So, Jim, give us the scoop.
Yeah. I mean, did you grow up in a positive environment?
I just wanted to ask you, were you, Nikki mentioned she was the youngest. Were you?
I'm the third in line.
You're the third.
Yeah. So,
of
four. So, you know, the third, when we talked about this in our show and, you know, in siblings.
Yeah.
I always felt like there was my sister, the baby, and everybody loved the baby. And then I had my older brothers, and then there's me. So is that
speaking volumes without me saying too much? I am the oldest.
Oh.
So I think, and I read up on this, and we talked about this when we had lunch across the street, that the oldest tends to be the more serious one, or at least...
That's true.
And I think because, and I read something about parenting where... a lot of times, or generally, when you have the parents that have the child, and what generally happens is you find with the very first child that they have, they're nervous, they're worried. So don't do this. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, everything. They're overprotective because it's this infant that's come into their life.
Sure.
By the time they have the second or the third, they've already done it.
They're relaxed.
So they know that the child isn't necessarily going to, you know, choke, or the child isn't going to necessarily, because they've been through it already. So I could see, and we've talked about it, we laugh, you know, with the family and everything. I could see, even taking it one step further with my sister's son, that my parents, especially my father, and my mother used to actually razz my father about it. Jim, how come you're letting my nephew's name is Dominic? How come you're letting letting Dominic do that when Jimmy, which is what it's called at home, so my dad's Jim, I'm the fifth James. How come Jimmy couldn't do that when he was a kid, but you're letting Dominic, you know, stand on the edge of the swimming pool or do these things that I couldn't do as the son, but the grandson can do? Mm-hmm. And of course, that comes with just, again, you know, mellowing out or as time progressing.
Absolutely.
But I would say that. Same thing. When there's big things that happen or what have you, they do tend to go to the oldest as the authoritative person.
And you get to be like the babysitter in many ways.
The caretaker,
the
warrior,
the babysitter.
Yeah,
the one that, like I had my siblings babysit me when I was a baby.
Yeah, right.
And you take more responsibilities. I mean,
I see that as definitely... the case. And what's funny is as we have aged, my sister has become, being married with, you know, child, the serious, more serious one now. And I'm lighter
and more relaxed.
I've always been funny and light.
Yeah, you
but
are.
But much more so now
relaxed.
Than earlier years. Right. It was much more, you know,
but I think
you
we
to be
need
professional
to talk about how, because the topic today is can self-talk lead to self-love?
Right.
So we need to talk about, okay, with our environment, and then how do we deal with, we talk about positive self-talk, negative self-talk? What are we talking about here?
Well, you know, there's a lot of, if you, you know, read all of these case studies on the power of positive thinking and how, it really affects us in our stress management, and you hear constantly over and over again how stress, you know, affects
yes.
our health. And so it's all relative. It's all connected. So the power of positive thinking,
very important.
Yes, yeah. Reduces stress and your overall health and outlook, and the effect you have on others changes.
And people are drawn to that too. They're drawn to positivity. Drawn to it. It's like a magnet. Yeah,
it really is. So Eleanor Roosevelt said this so eloquently. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
I love that. I love her.
Yes.
I love what she said. Yeah.
Right. And isn't it true though? Because you have this conversation, and I do this, and you know when I do this the most? When I'm driving, I'm always having a conversation in my mind about different things, whatever it may be that are going on. And I find myself being hard on myself. I need to get this done. I should have gotten that done. Well, I should be doing more. I should have done this better.
So you're doing it as you're driving. You're the alone time.
It's that self-talk.
Is that you?
That
I always see on the highway with the left blinker still on.
That's me.
Because you're thinking.
That's the one that cut you off, yes.
If you see this particular car with the left blinker still on,
right.
It's not your grandfather anymore.
It's Diana and self-talk.
And she's in deep thought.
No, but the definition of self-talk is... to encourage or let me put my glasses on, guys, because I'm reading this.
It is
now.
That time in our lives,
we'll
isn't it?
Find the definition of self-talk as anything said to oneself or encouragement, motivation, such as phrases or mantras. But I find more often, and here on my notes, there is about Whitney Houston. I mentioned about the greatest love of all, her song that really did not help her any.
No.
Ironically,
yes.
Well, a lot of times, self-talk can be negative and self-doubt. The talk
and
that
I
you're
think
having
more often
is,
it is.
No,
don't
I
you think,
can't
guys?
Do that. I shouldn't do that. I won't do that. I would say that it is.
Yeah.
I would say that
it's much easier for us to be negative than to be positive.
Right. I don't look good today. I don't feel good today. I didn't
Absolutely.
Do well today.
Right.
And that's where you can really, you know, set yourself up for
a lot of it has to do with societies. I mean, Jim is in the entertainment business.
Yes.
And it's important that
the entertainment business
is so competitive and so much is going on.
Right. And you're having to please people.
Yes, and one day you see one person, the next day you don't see them.
Right.
And you wonder what happened to that show, to that presenter. So you, from all people, I don't want to put the question directly to you, but you are from all three of us here and Randy Kaye on the other end, because Randy Kaye had a radio show.
Sure.
And that was, they parted ways.
Right. And it happens to all of us in this industry.
It happens to the best of you guys. Right. So that must be self-doubt, self-talk.
Because when you're in this performance business,
so many eyes are looking at you.
And it's not just a job / a career. It's all you. And if it's a show that has your name on it, say, if, for example, it's a show. And
actually, I saw you the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw you on TV. It was fun.
Why, thank you.
You were at the restaurant or something. You were doing a food critique.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, yes. So, I went with PBS for many years. People might recognize me from PBS and a lot of other shows, radio and TV. But, when you're a performer, sometimes... another thing, self-worth is tied into all of this.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people, not just performers, but in life, they sum up their self-worth based on what they hear as far as feedback from other people. So if they are a comedian and they don't get the applause, they feel their self-worth has now dropped, even though it hasn't.
Right.
They assume that it has. So, yeah, you do have to really, you're pleasing people constantly. And if you're a people pleaser, which I tend to be, that's me.
Yes.
I'm a people, people make you laugh, you laugh, and make it all thread together neatly, I'm very happy.
And then you know what happens? And I'm a people pleaser too, so I know that.
Yeah.
And your self-worth is based on how you think others perceive
and
you.
And that is your downfall.
Right.
Absolutely.
That can be your
that
downfall.
Can be and will be your downfall.
You can't.
Because you need, I have to mention this.
Please do.
Last night, okay, make fun of me, guys.
No, we love Nikki.
Last night, I was watching Arianna Huffington being interviewed by Barbara Walters. And she said one thing, that your resume is not your eulogy.
That's right.
So
that's
when you're dying, they're not going to say, well,
I
you know,
that. Yeah.
So-and-so
was the president
did this, so-and-so did this. So you have to change your ways and care less and about what other people think.
Right.
And focus on what you do from inside out.
That's right.
Well, you know what they refer to that as it's victimhood. I think I saw that term.
Victimization,
yeah. Where, you know, how do I feel about my self-image, my body image, or if somebody said, well, you're fat.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to feel that way. I take that on. But if you relinquish that victimization or victimhood, if you relinquish that, you know, you start to turn that negative internal conversation into more of a positive. So, you know, but where it begins is, it's okay. It doesn't matter. How I look on the outside doesn't matter so much. So there's that piece of it as well.
Well, there's this whole now new element of the internet and social media, and a lot of people are spending hours and hours on it, watching the lives of other people and feeling bad about themselves because they don't have a picture of themselves having caviar and champagne on a yacht on the weekend, but they see their friend posting that. And that's actually having a psychological effect on
what you're
people.
Saying.
There was a comic, you should probably saw this. It was in the newspaper and it was really, really cool. It was a just a comic strip or just a cartoon. And it showed a casket. It showed all these chairs. It showed two or three people standing in front of the casket. And the woman is saying to the man as they're in front of the casket of the friend, I would have thought that there would have been many more people here. Now, all you saw in the animation was the three people, all these empty chairs, and the casket. And they said, gee, I would have thought there would have been many more people here considering they had 3,000 Facebook friends.
Right. Wow.
I love that.
Yeah, they're not friends.
Because I heard statistics about that. People that post things on Facebook, I'm not knocking it. I think it's the way we're going.
It's become, yeah.
It's making them feel better, and they're kind of dependent on how other people feel.
Their reactions to that.
Their reaction to what they're posting.
I've been to China,
I've been to Hawaii, I've been this. Because that's how they draw their energy.
Yes. Do you know that there
it's
a
empty.
New, yes.
Because there isn't anything really real
substantial.
To it. Right. Yeah, it's
what of substance.
Yeah.
Substance.
What do you care if my foundation of my existence is not what anybody cares, unless it's a business relationship that you need to make sure that you do care.
Right.
In gym situation would be a little different.
Promotion.
But we are business people regardless. Diana is a business person. I'm a business person. We're running businesses. And we need to care on the business side what people care. But on my personal life, I care less who approves of me or who doesn't.
But you know what? You know what the phenomenon is? And this was so interesting to me. And I have teenagers. I have a 15-year-old daughter, as you know, and I have an 18-year-old son.
I love them both.
Thank you. And I see their friends, and I
and
see the reaction.
You have to say your son is in med school now?
He's pre-med. Yes,
where?
He's a pre-med at Cornell
University.
Okay. He's doing great,
so
and he loves it. I'm very proud
he's
of him.
He's adorable.
And missing
so
him like crazy. Thank you so much. And I love having her home and just loving every minute of it because I know it's coming soon where she's going to be leaving me. But so this whole phenomenon of their self-worth, teenagers, children, media, social media, their self-worth based on the amount of likes they get, whether it's through, and forgive me because I am not, really versed on all of it, but what I know, the Snapchat, the Instagram, the Facebook,
the Twitter followers, Instagram pictures.
And they base how they feel about
how popular they are and how loved they are
based on their likes.
Now, and if you don't get a like, you have to bring your post down. I read someplace. If you're not liked, if it's not liked, you have to bring that post people down. Have,
or if you get unfriended.
Yes.
People get mad if
and
you unfriend.
Angry and
people
hurt.
Break up on there
wow.
now.
Yes.
You know, the boyfriend, girlfriend break
right.
up. And
but it's amazing.
Or people announcing they're breaking up with some.
So there's
right.
a lot. So it's tying
media.
Neatly to what
but
you're saying about self-love.
Yes, but it's amazing, you know, really how that whole self-love is tied into this social media now.
It is.
And even
more
as
so
I, and I,
now than
I,
ever.
Yes. Now, I had brought this up in front of my
and
my
do you
daughter's
find it
friend.
Selfish?
Yes, right.
Selfish.
It is selfish. I brought this up in front of my daughter and her friends, and the one friend was on social was on her Instagram, and she had posted a picture of herself, and she said, "Oh, you should see how many likes I got about my picture." And she started reading all of the comments. Oh, you know, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, yeah. you're adorable, whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
And,
yes.
And it, that really mm-hmm. made her feel
better.
Better.
So what's interesting about that is there's almost this creation, this manufactured self-love
yeah.
that is superficial. That's,
based on
that's,
social media.
That, I have a question yeah,
it's
for
following
you.
What celebrities are doing versus mm. going
yes.
to see your grandmother.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Texting your grandmother as opposed to going over and having apple pie with her like people used to do.
The real
right.
thing.
This, yeah, and that's a whole societal mm-hmm. shift. So the lack of the self-talk, the self, there's a lot of people that don't even take the time to have the self-talk. We're
now,
rushing,
I have a
rushing.
Question for
exactly.
the two of you.
That's right.
Why, in your opinion, we struggle with positive self-talk? I mean, there is negative self-talk, and we have no problem doing plenty of that. As Diane said, when she's driving, she's like, okay, I should have done this, I should have done that. And I do that often, and I'm sure Jim is. But why is there a way we can change the mantra? We have to change altogether the way we think. I personally believe that we should change the way we think, like
mm-hmm.
not
agree.
To care about yeah. other people and then change the mantra.
And that there's no such thing as perfect.
Right.
We're all striving to be number one, the best, perfect every single time. And our society pushes us
well,
that way
it.
Now.
Right.
Everything has to be number one, best, and perfect.
Right.
And sometimes perfect isn't always good.
No.
Less is more.
Right.
Simple. I work in an industry where every second has to be perfect. It's got to look perfect, sound perfect, be perfect. Everything has to be timed just right. And you're attracted to that because there's the challenge of creating that. But you also have to realize that once the lights are off and the mics are down and the cameras are shut off, it's not that way when you walk outside.
No. And I think it's more humane to have unperfect, even with the show here
yeah.
that we're doing,
right.
you know, the mistakes that
right.
we're making, like Jim was tapping his
I didn't
pencil.
Make any mistakes.
his pencil. Diana was like, don't tap your pencil. And we're making like all kinds of conversation, trying not
yeah.
to. But it's
yes.
so important for us to be yeah. real.
Right.
As we're taping here, it's a new studio. We're going to make mistakes, but it's us. And people love regular people talking to them
well,
and addressing them.
Now,
that's
think,
right.
Think about reality TV. What do we love about reality TV? We love to see the imperfection in people, right?
Well, that is a little over the top in my opinion,
well,
but I kind of like, I think they started, Diane has a point, they started by being that and then it became like totally it abused.
Scripted and produced.
Yeah, it became, now it's scripted and produced, but initially the reality shows.
Well,
were
the one of the negative effects of it is that then society feels that that's how you can always react. For example, if they're always showing people arguing, fighting, lifting up tables in restaurants and throwing chairs at each other, that is how you're supposed to react normally
right.
in life, especially the younger generation.
It becomes normal.
Yeah, yeah. The kids, if they bless you.
Thank you.
If they feel that, I think the air conditioning just went on. You're coughing, you're sneezing.
I know, it did. I'm
but
getting cold
they,
here.
But all of that, you know, ties into what we're trying to say here. And we want to give some tips. You know, we're talking about different realms of self-love. I'll ask each of you and then I'll answer myself. Do you find it easy? And have you always found it easy? I haven't. It's just because I tend to be more concerned about others being safe, healthy, happy, well taken care of. It's just I come from a family that we all run for each other when they need help.
Yeah.
Do you find being able to have self-love easy? And do you have it to the level that you feel
I'm going to simply have it? I'm going to simplify this. When you need to self-love, it's a process, and it matters because we are not an island. We live with people. We socialize. We are affected by the people that we love, our friends. But I have found in my travels and in my journey so far that as I am changing, people around me change. And I do not attract the same people. I do not attract, whether it's friends, whether it's people, associates at work. I change, and then the people around me change. And I think that is a signal that I'm on the right path.
How do you think you've changed? What?
I changed because situations that happened in my life made me stronger. Things that...
Are you more open? Are you more...
Stronger.
Stronger.
And I care less and less as I go on in life about what other people think of what I do.
And you understand you have a value.
Well, think about it. I am a person with an MBA in marketing, and I end up opening a cleaning business. My father thought that it's something mentally wrong with me. But I have this faith in me that I know I can make a huge difference. I'm in the process of creating my own products. I finished my book. I mean, there's so much going on, but I have a belief. I mean, I took a lot of turns in one way or another that I didn't expect it, but it has a lot of ups and downs. Life is full of surprises, and most of them are negative. But if you're not strong and if you're not in control of your environment, you're not going to be effective, and you're not going to be a person that would make a difference.
Right.
And a lot of the stuff that I do is like I try to help other people in fundraising and all that stuff. And that helps me.
Well, they do say that when you are more philanthropic, it makes you feel very differently about yourself.
Yeah. You remember we did our first show did the live show. Our first show was a live show. And this one lady came up and said that doing philanthropic things, it's endeavors is a very selfish thing, because you give so much more to yourself,
but then you end up giving
receive,
to others.
Yeah, because
that's a good way of being selfish. Yeah. But I really think that it's just an awareness.
How is it for you? Do you find self-love? Does it come naturally? Is it a process? Like Nikki said, it's been a process. Is it for you too? Are you doubting and questioning? And
well, that's really interesting. And so I'm being very raw here, because that's what we are here to do. And I, when we talk about awareness, and it's particularly in this show, when we do a show and I do my research, and so with this particular show, self-love and self-talk, I started to become aware of the fact that I don't really have a lot of positive self-talk. I started to really become in tune with those negative thoughts.
Randy.
Hey, Randy.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
Surprise.
Oh, wow.
I only have like 2 minutes. I'm in the middle of a book signing. So
how's
it going, girls?
Good.
Good. Welcome to the show.
We miss you.
For our listeners, this is Randy Kay.
The host of the Life Talk show. And Randy, we're talking, as you know, the topic of our show.
Self-talk.
Self-talk. Self-love.
Self-talk lead to self-love.
That's right.
And Jim is filling in for you.
I bet you're surprised to hear the other third voice.
Nice to hear you, Randy. And I'm glad that you're feeling much, much better. That is great news.
Thank you, Jim. I'm using a lot of good self-talk to help
me get through a slow journey
to be able to use my right hand again. I will get there, and so
that's right.
That's the important thing.
That's right.
Take each day as a gift and celebrate the tiny victories along the way, like being able to hold a toothpick.
That's right, and we're all here behind you and supporting you, Randy.
And we miss you.
And we love you.
And we love you. So, Randy, tell us your thoughts on if
like a tip.
a tip. Can self-talk lead to self-love?
Okay, well, you know, it's honestly, I'm in the corner of a Marriott in West Palm Beach, Florida right now, and there's a lot of noise around me, so I only just wanted to call in to say hi, but obviously, as I said in my tip, you know, I believe that words have power, and we grow up associating different things with different words, and so use the words that have power for you, but positive power. So some of the mantras I use that help me through everything is, it is what it is, you know that one. I say, whatever happens, I'll handle it somehow. That can get you through the tough times. And, you know, just reminding yourself of your own strengths. And when you remind yourself of good things and associate it with good things, like even this will work out somehow, those things help you to avoid anxiety and so forth.
And
so
I love
kind of all I can so say
true.
Right now.
Yeah, it's so true.
And I love what you always tell me. There is a humor in everything. Find humor in everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yes, you have to.
Humor makes a big difference. Well, I hope you guys are having fun
without
me. Yes,
Randy.
Randy. Yes, we are.
Thank you so much.
Take care, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, safe travels.
Happy
see you
holidays.
Soon.
We'll talk
happy
to you soon.
Thanks, Randy.
You know, that's
bye.
So take
bye.
Care. And that is Randy K joining us here on the Life Talk Show, direct and live from West Palm Beach. Not a bad place to be right about now.
When you're healing.
But yes. It's so true. That was a good example of what she's saying as far as this too shall pass. It is what it is. Sometimes it takes a while. Like we're talking, I think what we're seeing as a connection here is it's all a process. And sometimes that comes with as the years go on, we allow ourselves to release. We allow ourselves to realize that it is what it is. Now, you were starting to tell us about, you know, I knew that was going to be your answer. Like, it's not as easy for you to have the self-love because you are a pleaser.
Right.
You are a doer of making sure that everybody else is happy and fulfilled.
Yes.
And I am that, and it's not always
well,
easy.
Well, I'm not.
Because Well, I say that because if you allow yourself to take the 10 minutes to develop that self-love or reinforce it, you almost feel like, who am I to be self-loving me?
Right.
Well, conceited or arrogant to do it or what have you. And, you know.
Exactly. You know, and it's definitely a process. It's like happiness. We've learned, you know, through our show that happiness really is a process. It takes awareness. It takes work.
You can't create happy. You can be happy.
Yes, exactly.
And it matters, just so I interject a little bit here, it matters with the people that you hang around with. I mean, sometimes
yes.
family,
very
you
much
can't
so.
Do anything about
toxic
it.
Toxic
yeah.
situations.
Yes.
You have
exactly.
to lose those
And there are
people.
Some people you that you kind of shed them. As you change.
I love that.
You
yes,
do.
It's true.
Not so easy when you're a caretaker pleaser because you feel you can help them.
Right. It's
yeah.
true.
You can help even the toxic people.
Absolutely.
Soften up or.
Yes.
Right. So.
And you know what?
I got you, Diana.
Yeah. And you're. Yeah, I know you do. Right. And you're absolutely right. And you know what I found? I think also as a teacher.
Sure you're not my cousin.
We
could
I get
be. That vibe. That
I know.
A
I you know
relation
you never like
there.
Yeah you know separated at birth or something like that could have been.
Brother
you
from
never
another
know.
Mother.
Right. Exactly.
Brother from another mother. You guys are too much. That's true, though.
But
that's
you
true.
Know, it really is true. You know, I. You know, I think as a teacher too, I, you know, just that whole, you know, seeing, you know, always wanting to make kids better, to, you know, because that's
improve,
your job, to
improve.
To
teach, yeah.
Courage.
And
yes.
Right. And so.
There's hope for everyone. Like that would be the angle.
Right.
That, that's why that leads to what you do for a living.
Yeah.
And what I do is we're in these capacities, in these roles where mm-hmm. we're given a certain amount of authority and or power, as they say. I use
right.
that word loosely. But it's what we do with it and how we use it
absolutely.
To yeah. encourage and inspire and empower others. And I'm sure you'll agree too, Nikki, that when you do that, like being, whether it's, you know, philanthropic, but if you're inspiring and encouraging others and helping others through things, it fills you.
Yes,
it
absolutely.
Does. And that's where it comes.
It can either fill yeah. you or drain you.
Yeah,
and
it does both.
That's
it does both.
That's the
it
choice.
But it depends
you have to make a
how you do
choice.
You have to
and
learn.
And that's your package. That's your calling.
You have right. to learn how to say no. No is
not
a sentence.
So
no,
no,
it isn't.
So
no
it isn't.
Is a sentence.
Yeah, it is.
You don't have to start going, no, but, da, da, da. Just finish at
I'm
no.
a no, but person.
The other
it's
thing,
hard.
Too, in terms of tips that we have, we want to Okay. We've got about 10 minutes left to our show, so we want to make sure we've heard Randy's tip, and I want to slide into my tip, and then Diana and Nikki will share their tips as well. The other thing you have to do is forgive yourself, and that's not so so easy to do. Yeah, you know, as humans, we're very hard on ourselves, and oftentimes, you know, as a result of taking responsibility for our actions, we're punishing ourselves too much, criticizing, you know, self-doubt for mistakes and, you know, and learning and growing. And you really have to accept your humanness, literally, that nobody.
I love that word.
As I said earlier.
Is that a real word?
Humanness, yeah.
Humanness. It's like victimhood. I don't know if it's a real word, but it sounds really good.
I love it.
That nobody is perfect. And you have to really understand that and absorb that and feel that and live that before you can really truly love yourself. First, that, like we said earlier, ties into what we said earlier. Everything we're doing today is tying neatly into the format of the show and the topic. So nobody's perfect. Not that you can't try to be great at what you do and you know, the best. There's nothing wrong with that, but nobody's perfect. So don't set yourself up for that before you can really, you know, love yourself. Try and exercise being less hard on yourself. Yes, easier said than done, but try it. Let, like Randy said, and like we all said, it is what it is. This too shall pass. You know, there are bigger things that happen in life than that little tiny little thing that you're getting aggravated about. Allow yourself to live through the moment when you make a mistake. There are no real failures. Some of the most successful people on earth have failed the most.
Yes.
If you have learned and grown from your mistakes, then only lessons are learned. And when you learn that and you have the self-love,
beautiful,
people will be attracted to that.
Absolutely. And we talked about, or I think I shared that with you, Nikki, about the most successful people in life and
the Michael Jordans of the world. Like,
yes,
Michael Jordan has a poster said, I failed 1,000 times and then I succeeded. So something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of people have.
And that's where that awareness of not letting those negative thoughts and negative self-talk come into play, you know, and pushing through that. And that's really, really important. So I'm going to share my tip.
Okay.
Self-love begins with positive self-talk. Dr. Phil has become famous for his line, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. And that is the perfect sentiment for turning your negative self-talk into positive self-talk. So here's like what I really think in that awareness, a little tip, get a notebook and start writing down negative thoughts that cross your mind.
I love that idea.
Yeah. Do this for just one day and the process of awareness about just how positive or negative your thoughts are will begin.
Beautiful. I love that idea.
Need a pad with a lot of paper.
Yes. Right. But, I'm going out
guys,
to buy some
this
now.
Is something that Oprah did. Oprah does. Mm. She has a notebook and she constantly writes.
Yeah. You do have to. Yeah.
You have to. Yeah. I'm not a person. I write, but I write like with a book or whatever, but I don't write.
You know what? I do pro-con lists. When it's a big decision about something, I always make a pro
the Benjamin Franklin close.
Right.
And see how many pros and how many cons there are.
I love that too. Yeah.
Before I decide.
We call it the Benjamin Franklin close.
Because I'm a Libra, so I like balance.
Yeah, I'm a Libra too.
Both sides of the question. So the pro-con list. And so that's fantastic. And you, Nikki, you have.
Okay. So mine is like, I'm quoting Buddha here. You, yourself, as much as anybody else in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. And I'm going to go up with Randy here and quote Randy. Also, ask yourself, would I say these words to someone else I love? So you have to love yourself and you have to encourage yourself and show empathy to yourself.
So say that again. Would I say those same words that I'm saying to myself to somebody else I love?
Right.
Wow.
Because how many times do we say that, like when somebody says something to us we don't necessarily like, and maybe they'll say it to you but not your sister, and you'll say to that person, would you ever say that to Susie? Or what you just said to me, would you ever say that to? So yeah, it's really all tied together. It's all tied together. So, you know, The real bottom line is letting go of certain things. Not that you're never going to have negative thoughts. Sometimes negative thoughts are good because they protect you from risk and from danger. And, you know, having a negative thought is sometimes not necessarily 100% negative. It's if those negative thoughts take control and erase the value of the positive that is there. you have to realize and tell yourself that you do add to the, you know, a contribution to the conversation, that maybe you come from a background where you've been knocked and you've been bullied or you've been downed and you don't necessarily have what you feel is the confidence to say that I am valuable and I am strong. You are, and you matter. We all matter.
And right. I just want to add, expectations have to be set aside.
And realistic.
And be realistic and just forget about who expects what from you. Just be yourself.
So we've talked throughout the show about positive self-talk and positive thinking. So there are health benefits to positive thinking, and I just want to share those with you.
Can't wait.
Okay. So the positive benefits of positive thinking are your lifespan will increase.
Good one.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, the blue zones. Think about those. Because
yes.
We're going to do a show on
blue zones. So, right.
People, fantastic.
But
centenarians.
I'm telling it in Greek way.
Yeah.
And positive thinking. Lower rates of depression in people that think positively, lower levels of distress or stress, greater resistance to the common cold, believe it or not.
Yeah. Better immunity is built. Yeah.
Yes.
Immunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better psychological and physical well-being, reduce the risk of death from cardiovascular disease. That's an interesting
one.
But
that's
makes sense.
That's a strong one, too.
It's all tied into stress. And then better coping skills during hardships and times of stress.
As Plato said, healthy mind is healthy body and vice versa. But mind matters a great deal.
Right.
And something else that can be, it could be a whole other show that probably makes it hard for some people to have the self-love is if they are perfectionists.
Yes.
You may be an incredible perfectionist
Type
at your
a.
task, what you do, what I do, as our careers, as our livelihood. We may be very, very good and talented and perfectionists at it and pull off the job every time. But sometimes you can absorb that, and that's part of your inner way. And there is a positive nature to that because, you know, then there's certain things you are able to express and do in your creativity of what you do for a living. But if you are a perfectionist, it can be hard to have that self-love or at least deal with having it because you're always wanting everything perfect.
And
outside, nothing is.
Right. Perfection is impossible.
It's a Hollywood movie set.
Right. Exactly. It's a type A.
But behind the Hollywood movie set, there's, you know, dumpsters and you
right,
know.
Right. you know. Oh, that's a good image.
It's really
but
true.
It's really true. So trying to achieve perfection really is probably
and
a leading
have a spirituality
a
and think from the inside out.
Be grounded,
be spiritual.
Surround yourself with positive people, like you said.
That to me is very the number one. It's very important.
You could be surrounding yourself with people who are just, you know, you're never going to do that. What are you wearing the black sweater for? You know, the black looks phenomenal, but somebody else could be saying
something.
No, but generally speaking, people have freely, they would say something.
Yeah.
Right.
Bluntly.
And it will hurt your feelings.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
You should think before you speak.
Right.
You know, and how is it going to affect the other person?
Yeah.
And if they're the type of person who, you know, you see that there isn't the self-love necessarily, you know, try to encourage.
Right.
What's better than, like we're saying, encouraging? And we hope that this episode of the show is encouraging somebody who might be going through something, struggling with self-doubt, not knowing how to practice self-love and have self-talk. We don't know sometimes the lives that we're impacting with a show like the Life Talk Show. So that's what's great about having this discussion like this, is that we may be impacting, there could be somebody listening right now who's going through the loss of a family member or through the holiday season right now, which is extremely stressful. And there is this striving to have everything perfect for the holiday. If there's any time of the year where everything has to be perfect, it's during the holidays. So they're putting themselves aside to make sure everything else is perfect in their surroundings. And hopefully the show and this episode is helping somebody realize there's things you can do.
And you know what, guys?
We all struggle
with it. Make the best out of everything.
That's
I mean,
right.
I always have...
Glass half full?
Yes.
Yes.
And I always have this party around the holidays in my house. And I decided one year to do a brunch. And what Jim was talking, I thought about that. And it was a big mistake because I have this little kitchen. Diana knows my house. And brunch has eggs. So I said, okay, I'm going to make eggs. And cooking, I know how to cook very few things. So
she's a very good cook, by
anyway,
the way.
So I'm making the eggs and somebody's like, hey, Nikki, these are not the proper eggs. This is not what I want. I said, get out of the kitchen. It is what it is. You're going to eat all the... So suddenly one of my friends...
Hostess with the mostess.
So my friends are
get
like,
out of my kitchen.
Wait a minute.
Happy holidays.
My friends are like, wait a minute. I like my egg over easy. I'm like,
so the Life Talk
is-
holiday party will be at Diana's house.
But all I'm saying is... It didn't bother me one bit. Finally, one of my friends that his wife went to the Rhode Island Culinary Institute, she got in the kitchen and replaced me. But all I'm saying is, it is what matters is, like, as you make the mistakes, as you entertain, it's to be you and to enjoy the company of your friends. And yes, nothing will be perfect, but accept the company of the people you love and the company that you keep.
You know what I find interesting is as I'm listening to each of us have our own individualized personalities.
Yes, absolutely.
But it threads so beautifully together because there are similarities. At the same time, there are these uniquenesses about each of us, which I think is great.
Yes.
Which I think is great. All right. We just have a few minutes left.
So we have a few minutes left.
What is something that each of you do, if we have the time, real briefly, that you practice each day to enhance your self-talk and self-love? Is there anything you do on a daily basis? When we leave here today, will you do anything?
I'm going to tell you what I do, and you guys are going to laugh.
Or will you criticize yourself and say, oh, I didn't do well on that show today. Oh, I should have said this, I should have that. Or are you going to do it is what it is? And
yeah, I before I wake up in the morning, guys, you're going to think that there's something wrong with me, which is okay. I kiss my pillow and I say I love you because I can't kiss myself, but I kiss my pillow.
No, that's actually, I find that very interesting.
Thanks for joining us on the Life Talk Show.
Look at Jim. Jim is like rolling.
We just talked about uniqueness.
That's a teaser for our next episode. We'll delve and dig deeper. And that episode is called Pillow Talk.
Oh, that would be a great name for a show.
So she kisses the pillow, which is great. It's terrific.
That's right.
It's great.
Absolutely.
And,
it's her
and
way.
You,
we love you, Nikki.
You kiss the husband.
Yeah. Well, no.
What do you do?
But,
well, no.
But, you know, I should not
hang around with you people.
I will, no, listen, right. You know.
You'll love it.
Right, exactly. Okay. I'm going to try that. So I'm going to try that tomorrow morning, Nikki, and I'm going to think about you. So my thing, and I've shared this on air many times, I love yoga, and I just.
What kind? Vanilla or the strawberry, blueberry? What? No.
Greek.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
When I do yoga at the end, it's called Shavasana. And after Shavasana, you sit up and the instructor closes our class with just maybe a little mantra. And we end with namaste. And I really try at that point to say something very positive to myself as I like leave the class. And I think that's really helpful to me.
That's
so,
great. That's a great
that's my, that's my
now
little
we'll
thing.
Bring it to Jim.
All right, Jim.
I tend
Closing.
To, when I first wake up, being in the media, working in the TV and radio, I put television on, I want to see what's going on, what happened last night. But I also make sure that I look at the walls and I look at the end tables and I look at the family photos. The family that's here now and family that has since passed. And it's very grounding for me. It's no matter what this day is going to bring, this is what it's really all about. The
family,
the love of family, the support of family, the caring for one another. So I love taking a look each morning before the day is started at the family photos. And that's a very grounding thing for me. So tips. And we hope this show has helped you. And we want to thank our sponsor, Dynamic Printing LLC, again, to find out more about their incredible work. They did our banner, and they've done a lot of our printing work for the show. It's Dynamic Printing, 91 Main Street, Monroe, Connecticut, 203-459-8762, dynamicprinter.com. Ladies, this has been a real pleasure, and we're off to some really exciting things with Randy as well for 2015. Wishing everybody a beautiful, happy, and joyous holiday season.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yeah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you, Jim.
Happy
Thank you, Nikki. Love you guys. Have
Christmas.
A wonderful holiday.
And a safe and happy and healthy 2015 from all of us to all of you at the Life Talk Show. Take care. Thank you for joining us. This is Jim Masters. Happy New Year as well. We'll see you in 2015. Take care.
You've been listening to The Life Talk Show. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show. Sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki. The Life Talk Show. Join us.